إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi'ithni Allah ta'ala, this is our second session of reading from the final two chapters of the book Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. Next to the last chapter, the first one that we are reading, Shaykh al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Taymin, in his explanation, he has entitled it Faslu. وفصل في طريقة أهل السنة العملية يعني طريقة أهل السنة العملية. And we will be reading يعني primarily from the explanation of Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen رحمه الله, and sometimes perhaps we might also look at some of the comments of other scholars concerning this particular book or issues that we may come across. Before we go to the reading for today, we want to quickly review some of the points that we covered last week in the introductory session. So from the question and study guide for lecture number one, the first question is from the introduction, the title of the book and chapter in Arabic or English. Actually, the first question is in one, two, three parts. Okay, so the first part, title of the book and chapter in Arabic or English. Title of the book and the chapter. Naam, Musa.
Al-Aqidah
Al-Wasatiyah. Al-Aqidah Al-Wasatiyah. This is the name of the book and the chapter. Somebody, at your hand back there.
Uh-huh. Al-Amaliyah.
يعني طريقة أهل السنة Al-Amaliyah. Okay, what is the meaning of طريقة أهل السنة Al-Amaliyah? What is the meaning? Naam, Abdul Haq.
The way of Ahl Sunnah in actions.
Naam. Yani, it can be translated different ways. But yani, we have given it this translation because of what? Because the book itself actually is a book of Aqidah. It's the Tariqat Ahl Sunnah Al-Aqidiyah. It's the Aqidah, the creed of Ahl Sunnah. And in the end of the book, the Shaykh wrote about, yani, what? Shaykh Al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah wrote about the Tariqat Ahl Sunnah Al-Amaliyah. Yani, so there's a contrast here between that which is related to the creed, the Aqidah, the beliefs, and the actions of the people of Sunnah. The actions of people of Sunnah. Naam. Okay, after the second part of the first question, name the author, the Mu'allif. Yani, the author of the original book. Naam. Name, the name of the author. Naam. Mustafa. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. Naam. Add to it, Abdul Haq.
Taqiyyuddin, Abi al-Abbas, Ahmed ibn Abdul Halim, ibn Abdul Salam, ibn Taymiyyah al-Harani.
Tayyib. Okay, Naam. And by the way, what, anybody know his year of birth or death? What time period Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah was from? Naam.
631.
Tayyib. 728. The last part of this question, name the explainer, yani the one who gives commentary on this book, the Shari. The name of the one who's giving the commentary. Naam, what is your name, Akhi? Abu Yusuf? Abu Yusuf, naam, barakallahu feekum.
Shaykh Uthaymeen.
Shaykh Uthaymeen, naam, Shaykh Uthaymeen. Anybody want to add to his name? His title? Naam, Talib.
Muhammad ibn Saleh.
Tamimi. Najdi. Naam, Abu Abdullah. Muhammad ibn Saleh, Muhammad ibn Uthaymeen. Tamimi al-Najdi. Naam. And his, what about his date of birth or death? Anybody know which time period? This is our time period now. In the Hijri calendar. Right now, what year is this in the Hijri calendar? 1439. So what year? He died not long ago. 20 years or so, right? 1421. He was born 1347. Naam. We didn't go into any detail about the biography of Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, because we just went over it in the previous book. But in any case, and it is important for us to know something about the people that we're taking knowledge from. Question number two, list the three matters which the author, yani the author of the book, that is Shaykh Al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, mentions as essential to the tariqah of Ahlul Sunnah in ittiba' and following. Yani, we didn't go into the details of these three matters, but we read them. In the introduction to the class, we read the whole first chapter. We read the whole text of the first chapter, and he mentioned three things in reference to ittiba'. What are those three things? In order. The first of them. Ittiba' and what? Now.
Following the narrations of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Following ittiba' athar Rasulillah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Internally and externally.
Internally and externally. And the second of them, somebody else. Second of them. Ittiba' what?
Ittiba'
al-sabiqina. Ittiba' al-sabil al-sabiqina al-awwalina. Min al-muhajirin. Wal-ansar. And the third of them, ittiba'. Ittiba' naam talib. Now, ittiba', but how the Shaykh, he said, that's the point. Now, good, no problem. Wasiyat Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, حيث قال عليكم بسنتي وسنتي الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين. These are three essential matters in this chapter. The Shaykh Al-Islam Taymiyyah yani highlights, and Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah discuss each of them in some detail. Yani these three things, he said, are from the tariqah, meaning the manhaj of Ahl Sunnah. These are very important fundamentals in the manhaj of Ahl Sunnah, strictly adhering to, yani clinging tightly to, following, yani precisely the athar of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the way of the sabiqina al-awwalina min al-muhajirin al-ansar and the wasi of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he advised us, commanded us, instructed us, yani to hold tight to his sunnah and sunnah rightly guided khalifas. The third question, the sharih, we mean yani the one who is explaining the book, the commentator, the explainer. He says Ahl Sunnah follow the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in aqeedah, ibadah, and two more things. Naam, Usama.
Mannerisms and da'wah.
Yani in aqeedah, in ibadah, in akhlaq, in character and manners, and in da'wah ila Allah. And here the Shaykh, he's mentioning these four things as yani an attempt to cover in a general manner what the athar of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam covers. What? So many things. And they fall, basically almost all of them fall within these four categories. Either in aqeedah, or in ibadah, or in akhlaq and adab, or in da'wah ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Question number four. Discuss what is meant by following the athar of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam batinan wa zahiran, with examples of each. What is meant by following yani the athar Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam batinan wa zahiran? Naam.
Batinan has to do with things that you believe in the heart.
Batinan has to do with that which is inside, yani which the person has within inside themselves. He's saying like in the heart. Zahiran?
External, that which
yani appears in front of, that the people see. Example of internally, what do we mean?
Tawakkul.
Like tawakkul,
putting trust in
Allah,
love,
hope, fear, like this. And externally, we mean like what?
Like salat,
like salat, hajj, any things that the people see. Following the athar of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, internally and externally. Shaykh Salih Fawzan, Hafidhu Allah, may Allah protect and preserve him. On this point he said the comment that he made about this is internally and externally unlike the people who follow the Prophet ﷺ externally but not internally. Who was he referring to? Al-Munafiqun. They follow the Prophet outwardly. They profess to be Muslims, they act like, yani in the public, like they're Muslims, but internally, they don't follow. So this is a critical point that the Sheikh and the Sheikh Salih Al-Zahir makes here in reference to this particular topic. Now, in any case, this is an important matter. The following the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is not just in external affairs and just wearing clothing and looking a certain way. Rather, internally is the source and the beginning, the root of it. It has to be in the heart first, the actions of the heart, and then those things are manifested on the limbs or spoken by the tongue. And this is very, very important that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us success, that we follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam not just externally, but internally. Naam. After this, discuss what is the athar. Okay. Question number 5: the athar of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam divided into 3 divisions or more. List these divisions. Just list them. What are they? 3 divisions that the athar are divided in 3 or 4 divisions. What he did and what we have to follow in religion. More specifically, what we have to follow in religion, he means by that, naam?
What he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did as a form of worship.
Naam. In the religion, he means worship. Yani specifically what he did, intending by it to be an act of worship. Naam. That's one. Second one. Somebody else. Naam. Siddiq. Huh?
What he did accidentally.
What he did accidentally. Incidentally. Yani, these words are close to meaning, right? But usually when you say accidentally, like something bad happened, right? And incidentally means that, yani, it happened like accidentally, but I mean, it's not something bad, right? It's happened without intention. It's not something you intended to do, yani. Now. And that which he did due to the customs of the people. This was the customs of the people. And one more. Now. Natural, that like that which a person does due to their natural disposition, a natural inclination. Question number 6. Mention the ruling concerning following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and that which he did incidentally, and give an example. What is the ruling concerning following the Prophet and that which he did incidentally, with an example? Now,
We don't follow him because it's not intended for worship.
Okay, the ruling is that we don't follow him in that which he did incidentally. That's the ruling. That we don't follow it. Huh? And that is because what?
It wasn't intended.
Because it's not intended. Yani, this is something he did without intending that it be followed. That it be, he didn't intend it to be an act of worship that people should follow him in. Example. Naam.
When he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, entered Mecca during Hajj on the 4th day of Dhul-Hijjah.
Entering Mecca during Hajj on the 4th day of Dhul-Hijjah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed pilgrimage one time in his lifetime. And that time he arrived in Mecca on the 4th. And he journeyed from Medina to Mecca, and he happened to arrive there on the 4th. And incidentally, not that he was trying, I gotta get there on the 4th. No, that's how he arrived on the 4th. That something happened incidentally. It's not something that we're required to follow him in. Question number 7. Mention the ruling for following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that which he did due to natural disposition. The ruling concerning following the Prophet in that which he did due to natural disposition. To give an example. Naam. Hold it. Let's try over here. Now, I'm sorry. You right in front of me. I'm sorry. Naam. Abu Bakr.
It's not from the act of worship. It could be a form of worship from one of you.
Uh-huh. That which he did due to natural disposition is not intended to be an act of worship. Now,
it can be a form of worship in one view.
Could be, but I mean the ruling concerning it is that yani whatever he did due to natural disposition, it's not an act of worship. This is not considered to be an act of worship. But however, yani he's saying that it could be. Sleeping is a natural demand. This is not an act of worship. However, if it's done in a certain matter, in a certain manner, I mean, yani ala sifa mu'ayyina, then that could be considered an act of worship if doing it in that manner is legislated in the deen. So sleeping on the right side is legislated in the deen. Therefore, if a person does that, sleeping, Yani in a particular manner that's legislated by the Sharia in the Sunnah, then it would be considered as an active, could be considered as an active worship. And there are other examples the Sheikh gave, but yani the time, right? Question number 8, discuss the qaida al-aslu fil ibada al-man'u. Al-aslu fil ibadati al-man'u. What does this mean and what is its significance? What does this mean? Musa.
You said the foundation of in worship is prohibited except with a proof.
Except with a proof. Yani the foundation, the original ruling, al-asl, the original ruling concerning worship, matters of worship, is that it is prohibited to do any act of worship. That's the original ruling that we're starting with, unless there is a dalil. Unless there is a dalil. That's the meaning of al-asl fil ibadah. Yani the original ruling in worship is al-man'a. Yani that is mamnu'a. It's prohibited to do any act of worship illa bi dalil. إلا ما قام الدليل على مشروعيته. Except that which there is a proof that establishes that is something legislated. Okay, so the significance of this is that a person has to put on brakes. They have to stop when they think about doing any act of worship, anything that's considered act of worship. They have to stop and be sure that there is a proof for this. Many people are doing acts of worship day and night all over the world. Muslims, I'm talking about. Forget about the kafirs, right? That's a waste of time. Muslims doing things intending that is an act of worship, and they haven't asked, is there any dalil? Is there any proof for this? And where does this come from? Is this legislated in Islam? Allahu musta'an. May Allah save us from that. I mean, that's like just a waste of effort and energy and time and wealth and whatever else they're expending in it with no benefit whatsoever if it's not legislated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I think that was the 8th question, right?
Right.
Okay, so we said, I sent out a modified study guide, because we didn't reach this, the next 2 questions, we're going to take them today. So we added them to the study guide for today. The last 2 questions, 9 and 10, became 1 and 2 for today's topic. And from the beginning of this chapter, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, he mentions to us that from the tariqah of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah is what? اتباع آثار رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم باطنا وظاهرا. And then he says واتباع سبيل السابقين الأولين من المهاجرين والأنصار. And this is the second thing that is from the منهج, that is from what? The tariqa, the way, the methodology of أهل السنة, fundamentals of the منهج of أهل السنة, that is following the way of the sabiqina, those who were foremost, and the awwalina, who were first from amongst the muhajireen, those who migrated from Mecca to Medina, and the ansar, the people of Medina who accepted Islam and helped the Prophet ﷺ and his companions who migrated to Medina. Ittiba'u sabil al-sabiqina. This ittiba' means to adhere strictly, to hold tightly, to cling to follow, walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, to follow step by step, step by step. This is from the fundamentals of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. Huh? Ittiba' sabil al-sabiqin al-awwalin. The Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he says, yani after each word, yani ittiba'u, he said, a min tariqati Ahl al-Sunnah ittiba' fahiya ma'atufa ala ittiba' athar. Yani, from the tariqah, the way of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, is following ittiba'ah, it's following sabil al-sabiqin al-awwalina min al-muhajirin wal-ansar. This, he says, is ma'atufa ala ittiba' al-athar. Yani, it is connected by the conjunction wa, wow, wa ittiba'. Yani, the first sentence was what? Ittiba' athar rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The next sentence says wa, and. So it's connected to it by a conjunction, right? This is the meaning of ma'atuf. It's connected to it, meaning it's also included with it. And also following the way of those who were foremost and first from amongst those who immigrated, who migrated, and the helpers of Medina. So he said this is connected to what? The following of the athar, the narrations yani that which has been narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Following that, yani is from the way of the Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, and following this is also part of that. The Shaykh says, yani sabil al-sabiqina. As-sabiqina, he says, yani ila al-a'mal al-salihah. They are sabiqina. Huh? In what? In doing righteous deeds. Yani they surpass others. They are ahead of everybody else. They are beating everybody else. Huh? To it. They are getting there. They are the first ones to do it. In doing righteous deeds, they are the foremost. They outdo everyone else. They are there before everyone else. Following in their way. As-sabiqina. The Shaykh, he says, and yani, of course, this statement from Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah is based on the ayat in Surah At-Tawbah, 9th Surah, 100th ayat, right? And so, some of the scholars of Tafsir said, yani, sabiqin al-a'mal al-saliha, meaning they were the foremost in iman, in believing in Allah, wal-hijrah, in migrating for the sake of Allah, wal-jihad, and fighting for the in the way of Allah, wa-iqamat al-deen illah, and establishing the deen of Allah. Yani, a'mal al-saliha are many. Some of the scholars of Tafsir said, from the best of those righteous deeds is al-iman, and al-hijrah, and al-jihad, and establishing the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the earth. They surpassed everyone else. They acted ahead of everyone else. They left everyone else behind. They were foremost in this. And this is from the manhaj, the tariqah of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, following the way of these people who were the sabiqina ila al-a'mal al-salihah. And then he said, yani al-awwalina, al-awwalina meaning min hadhihi al-ummah, yani the first people of this ummah, the first people to enter into Islam. They were the first generation of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And concerning and following that, he said what? Wal muhajiruna, al-muhajiruna, yani he said, من هاجروا إلى المدينة. يعني السابقين الأولين من المهاجرين والأنصار. المهاجرون, he said, they are those who migrated to Medina. Migrated from Mecca to Medina. They left their land and they went to, يعني, live in Medina. Due to what? Persecution from the pagans of Quraysh of Mecca. And then he says, الأنصار. Who are the Ansar? Yani the Muhajirin, the Ansar. The Muhajirin are those who migrated to Medina, and the Ansar are the Ahl of Medina, fi Ahd al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani the people of Medina in the time period, in the era of the Prophet, the people who were in Medina, who believed in Islam, who believed in Allah, these people were called the Ansar. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions these two group of people, the Muhajirin, the Ansar, in the, and this is not in the book, this is just a note, right? Just a note. Allah mentions these two groups of people in the Quran in many places. From amongst the very important ayahs that Allah mentioned concerning them is in surah, in the 59th surah, 8th and 9th ayat. 59th surah, 8th and 9th ayat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِلْفُقَرَاءِ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ. Yani there's a portion, yani for the fuqara, the poor from amongst the muhajirina. الَّذِينَ أُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ وَأَمْوَالِهِمْ يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا وينصرون الله ورسوله أولئك هم الصادقون. And he mentions the muhajirin here, saying they are those who were forced out of their homes and their wealth. They left يبتغون فضلا من الله, yani seeking, desiring the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Left their land, left their wealth, left everything, seeking the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فضلا من الله ورضوانا, and seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَنْصُرُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولُهُ, and they were supporting Allah and His Messenger, I mean the deen of Allah. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ, these are those who are truthful. Yani truthful what? In speech that's matched by what is in the heart and manifested in actions. These are the صادقون. Anybody can claim, but yani what you say on the tongue has to be matched by being really in the heart and manifested in action, not just talk. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala follows that by mentioning the Ansar الذين تبوؤوا الدار والإيمان من قبلهم يحبون من هاجر إليهم ولا يجدون في صدورهم حاجة مما أوتوا ويؤثرون على أنفسهم ولو كان بهم خصاصة. And these are the people who had already made their home, يعني in Medina, before the immigrants came. And they had also believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they loved, يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجِرَ إِلَيْهِمْ. They loved those who migrated to them. They had love for them. And they didn't have in their heart any desire for what the muhajirin had been given from the spoils of war before that. They just loved them for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They had no desire for what they had. Rather, يُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. They used to give preference to the people who migrated, the muhajirin, over their own selves. They gave them preference over their own selves. Meaning that they gave them what they themselves were in need of. They gave preference to them over their own selves. Yani, even though, وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَ. Even though they might have had a need for it, they would give preference to those who have migrated over their own selves. These are the Ansar. So you can see, yani, from this matter here, you can see that these are people indeed worthy of being followed. And this is from the manhaj of Ahlul Sunnah. اتباع سبيل السابقين الأولين من المهاجرين والأنصار. The Shaykh, he goes on to say, he mentions a principle here. إنما كان اتباع سبيلهم من منهج أهل السنة والجماعة لأنهم أقرب إلى الثواب والحق ممن بعدهم. يعني it is from the يعني following their way is from the way, the tariqah or the manhaj of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, because these people, they are nearer to that which is correct and they are nearer to the truth. Because these people are nearer to that which is correct than anyone else and they are nearer to the truth. Why then shouldn't we follow them? The Shaykh says, and this is the principle, كُلَّمَا بَعُدَ النَّاسِ عَنْ أَهْدِ النَّبُوَّ بَعُدُوا عَنِ الْحَقِّ. Yani, whenever or the more a people are distanced from the period of prophethood, from the period of the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the more distance people are from that time period, the more distance they are from the truth. Naam, the more distance they are from the truth. وَكُلُّمَا قَرُبَ النَّاسِ مِنْ أَهْدِ النُّبُوَّةِ قَرُبُوا مِنَ الْحَقِّ. And the more people are closer to the time period of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his prophethood, his time, the nearer they are to the truth. And the more a people are eager and diligent to know about the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his rightly guided khalifas who came after him, the nearer a person will be to the truth. Yani, the more eager you are to know about the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Khulafa ar-Rashidin and Mahdiin, the nearer you will be to the truth. Now, it's incumbent upon us to know about the life of the Prophet, to read it, to study it, to reflect, to ponder over it, and to try to learn from it that which will help us to know how we should be living, so that Allah will be pleased with us, as He was pleased with His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and those who, yani, followed, who took the leadership of this ummah after him, especially the rightly guided khalifas and the Sahaba in general. Naam, ولهذا ترى اختلاف, yani, based on this principle, the nearer somebody is to the time of the prophethood, the nearer they are to the truth, and the further they are away from the truth. He said, for this reason we see that the differences in the ummah after the time of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een, the first and second generation of Islam, we see that the ikhtilaf after their time is أكثر انتشاراً وأشمل لجميع الأمور, that it is more widespread, differences are more widespread than they were in the time of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een. And they are more, yani, encompassing, yani, أشمل لجميع الأمور, meaning that they encompass more affairs, yani, differences. Not only were there more widespread differences, but they were covering all affairs. Maybe in the time of the Sahaba, yani, they differed about some small, few matters here and there. But later on, as time went on, the people started differing about everything. ولكن the differences in the time, yani, of the first generations of the Muslims, it was, yani, limited, minimal. It wasn't a lot of differences. So, from the tariqah, the manhaj of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, is that they look to the way of the foremost and the first people who were from those who migrated and the helpers in Medina, so that they will follow it. Yani they look, yanzuru fi sabil. They look at this way, fayattabi'uha, so that they will follow it. Yani they want to know it for what? So that they will follow it. Because following it, following their way, following these people, leads to love of them. In addition to the fact that following them will bring you closer to the sawab, that which is correct, and closer to the haq, to the truth. Unlike those who abandoned this tariqah, and they began to say, hum rijalun wa nahnu rijalun. They are saying that today, some of the people. They abandoned this way of following the first and foremost from this ummah. They said, hum rijalun, they are just men. Wa nahnu rijalun, and we are men. And why should we follow them? They're men just like us. What's the difference? This is what they are saying. The Shaykh says, they give no concern about differing from them. وَكَأَنَّ قَوْلَ أَبِي بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرُ وَعُثْمَنُ وَعَلِيُّ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ كَقَوْلِ فُلَانٍ وَفُلَانٍ مِنْ أَوَاخِرِ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ. Yani it is as though the way they see it, the view, the position, the opinion of Abu Bakr, Umar, and Uthman, and Ali is the same as the view of any guy from today, from the end of this ummah. Same, no difference. Yani the guy just came down the block from around the corner, who knows who he is or what he's on, and what he says. And we listen to it the same way we listen to Abu Bakr, Umar, and Uthman, and Ali. Even if he's the imam of the masjid, he's the sheikh, whoever. We're not listening to him like we listen to Abu Bakr, Umar, and Uthman, and Ali. That's impossible. Yani, subhanallah, ajib these people. The sheikh says, هَذَا خَطَأٌ وَضَلَالٌ. This is a mistake, error, and it is also misguidance. They are mistaken, and they are misguided. For indeed, the sahaba, they are nearer to that which is correct. وَقَوْلُهُمْ مُقَدَّمٌ عَلَى قَوْلِ غَيْرِهِمْ. And their view, their word, their position, it takes precedence over the position of anyone other than them. Naam. Why? The Shaykh says, مِنْ أَجْلِ مَا عِنْدَهُمْ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ وَالْعِلْمِ. Due to what they have of knowledge, of faith, of strong iman and knowledge. Yani why is their position given precedence? Due to what they have, not just for no reason whatsoever, for a reason, because of their iman is superior to the people who came after them, and their knowledge is superior to the people who came after them. وَمَا عِنْدَهُمْ مِنَ الْفَهْمِ السَّلِيمِ. And because they have correct, sound understanding, whereas the people today, their understanding is twisted. Some of the Muslims today, they're saying, we don't need to follow the Sunnah. The Quran is sufficient. Allah revealed the Quran. His speech is sufficient. We don't need anything else other than that. We don't need to follow men. Even if there's some good stuff in there, we don't need it. The Quran is sufficient. This is pure dalal, misguidance. Naam. So he said, their speech is given precedence. Why? Because of what they have of iman and ilm, knowledge, and what they have of correct, sound understanding, and taqwa, piety, wal amana, and trustworthiness. These are trustworthy people. Who can you trust today? Wama lahum, and the last point he said what? Wama lahum, yani alladhi lahum min suhbati rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani, and that which they have to their credit of what? Having been accompanying the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Their suhba, because they're sahaba. And nobody, yani even if some people today have good knowledge and have sound understanding, and they are trustworthy, and they have taqwa, and they have knowledge, but they cannot have the honor and distinction of being a companion of the Prophet ﷺ. This is something he gave. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose these people to be born in that time and to be believers in the Prophet ﷺ. This is something chosen by Allah. Allah chose those people. Nobody chose themselves for that. And Allah, He knows best who to choose to be the companions of His final messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So for this reason, yani for these matters, their view, their position, their opinion is given precedence over anyone other than them. I don't know how we look in time in here, but this is the first point for today, and it's the second point that we're talking about, ittiba, yani sabil al-sabiqin al-awwalin min al-muhajirin wal-ansar. Okay, I want to go back again and look at this point here. Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, in his explanation of Aqidah Wasatiyah, he entitles this chapter, yani a different title. He gave a title, same chapter, different title. He said, yani Sifat Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah Walima Summu Bidharika. Yani the characteristics of Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Yani he said, these are from this manhaj. The Shaykh al-Taymin said, Tariqah Ahli Sunnah, manhaj Ahli Sunnah. Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan said, Sifat Ahli Sunnah. From their sifat, their characteristics, their qualities, their special qualities, is that what? That they follow the athar of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That they follow the way of the first and foremost from amongst the yani muhajirin and ansar. Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, he says, concerning this second point, ittiba sabil al-awwalina, yani sabiqin al-awwalina min al-hajirin and ansar, he said, well, from the characteristics of Ahl sunnah is that they follow the way of the first and foremost from amongst the immigrants and the helpers. Why do they follow them? لِمَا خَصَّهُمُ اللَّهُ بِهِ مِنَ الْعِلْمُ الْفِقْهِ. Due to what Allah gave to them exclusively. Especially them. يعني خَصَّ. يعني Allah is the one who gave this to them specially. That is, knowledge and understanding. فَقَدْ شَهَدُوا التَّنْزِيلُ وَسَمِعُوا التَّأْوِيلُ وَالتَّلَقُوا عَنَ الرَّسُولُ صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِدُونْ وَاسِطَةً. Because these people, why do they have this great knowledge and understanding? Because they witnessed the revelation when it was coming down. They were there on the scene. And they heard its explanation. And they received it from the messenger without any intermediary. Yani somebody was there and they came and told you. How accurate is it? You don't know. Huh? They were there when it happened. With no intermediary, they got it firsthand from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So therefore, these people are nearer, he said, to that which is correct. Yani they aqrab ila thawab wa ahqqu bil ittiba ba'd rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said that they are nearer to that which is correct, and they have more right. They have more right to be followed after the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So following them comes in the second level, الدرجة الثانية. Yani after following the messenger, the second level is what? Following the Sahaba. So Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, he says, فَأَقُولُ, listen, فَأَقُولُ السَّحَابَ حُجَّةٌ. Huh? Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, Hafizullah said, the Sahaba, they are hujja. They are proof in themselves. What they say and what they do is a hujja after the messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. يجب اتباعها. It is obligatory to follow it. The Sahaba. He said they are hujja, it's obligatory to follow it. Yani that which they came with. إذا لم يوجد نص على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Yani with the condition of what? If there is no textual evidence directly from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, it's obligatory to follow the Sahaba. And this is because their way, their tariqah is أسلم وعلم وأحكم. Yani because their way is safer and more correctly based on knowledge, and ahkam yani more precise and exact. Naam. And this is not like what the later people are saying, that the way of the salaf is aslam, is safer, but the way of the khalaf, the later people, is alam wa ahkam. This is not so at all. And then these people, then they said, therefore they follow the way of the khalaf and they leave the way of the Salaf. Yani these people came along and said, Naam, the way of the Salaf is safer, but the way of the Khalaf, the later people, this is A'lam wa Ahkam. They are more knowledgeable, the people who came later. And they are more exact and precise. No, not so. Anyway, this is what Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan said. I wanted to read this because of the benefit, yani what he said concerning the point that we just covered. Naam. Allahu musta'an. I have one more point that I want to read. Please pardon me. But this is very important. This yani this ayah that Shaykh al-Islam Taymi is referring to when he says yani ittiba'u sabil as-sabiqin al-awwalina min al-muhajirin wal-ansar. This statement is from the Quran, Surah At-Tawbah. Huh? 9th surah, 100th ayah. Where Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala says, والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان. يعني these people and whoever follows them بإحسان in their aqidah, in their ibadah, in their manners and character, and whoever follows them, Allah says رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عن. Allah is pleased with them and whoever follows them. That means we wasn't chosen for that time, but we could follow them now and be included with them. Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Him. Allah is pleased with their obedience to Him and they are pleased with what He has of reward for them. To the end of the ayat, Al-Hafiz Ibn Kathir says, Allah the Most High is informing us that He's pleased with the Sabiqeena, those who came first and foremost from the Muhajirin and Ansar, and those who follow them in Ihsan. And Allah has made them to be pleased with that which He has prepared for them of gardens. And then, yani, very important statement here. Yani, okay, I'll skip some of it because of the sake of time. Yani, some of the scholars from the Salaf or yani, the early generations of Muslims, they explained who is the Sabiqeen and Awwaleena. They explained different meanings, that maybe this refers to the Sahaba in general, or it refers to certain groups of Sahaba who participated in certain events. Yani, they give different opinions concerning this. But what's important here is that Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, says, فَقَدْ أَخْبَرَ اللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ أَنَّهُ قَدْ رَضِيَ عَنَ السَّابِقِينَ الْأَوَّلِينَ مِنَ الْمُحَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ. Yani, Allah Al-Azim, He is informing us that He is pleased with the first and foremost from this ummah, from the Muhajirin and Ansar. He is informing us that He is pleased with them and those who follow them. فَيَا وَيْلُ مَنْ أَبْغَضَهُمْ أَوْ سَبَّهُمْ أَوْ أَبْغَضَ أَوْ سَبَّ بَعْدَهُمْ وَلَا سِيَامَ سَيِّد الصحابة بعد الرسول خيرهم وأفضلهم أعني الصديق الأكبر الخليفة الأعظم that is Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه. يعني Ibn Kathir is saying Allah has informed us that He's pleased with these people. Woe to those who hate them and who curse them, or hate some of them and curse some of them. Who are we talking about? Rafida, Shia. This is what Ibn Kathir is talking about. He said, woe to them who hate them after Allah has informed us that He's pleased with them. Then they hate them and they curse them. Especially the leader of the Sahaba, after the Messenger, the best of them, the most preferable of them, that is As-Sadiq Al-Akbar, Al-Khalifa Al-A'zam, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. For indeed there is a group from amongst the Rafida who have been misguided. They have enmity towards the best of Sahaba, and they hate them and they curse them. وَيَعَذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. And we seek refuge in Allah from such. And this indicates that their minds and their hearts are backward, corrupted. This is a clear indication there's something wrong with their minds and their hearts. That Allah says He is pleased with someone and they say we hate them and we curse them. So where are these people? فَأَيْنَ هَؤُلَاءِ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ بِالْقُرْآنِ. Where are they in reference to believing in the Qur'an? Allah said, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُّ عَنْ وَعَدَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ. Allah has prepared for them gardens in which rivers flow. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا وَذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. This is what Allah said about them. They say, we hate them. They curse them. They speak ill of them. Where are they in reference to believing in the Qur'an? If they are cursing the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with. As far as Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, then they are pleased with those who Allah is pleased with, and they curse those who Allah curse. And they have allegiance to those who Allah offers allegiance to, and they oppose those who Allah oppose, and they follow and they don't innovate, and so on to the end of what he said. I thought that this is a very important statement from Al-Hafiz Ibn Kathir, and especially since all the Muslims in the world, except somebody who's a clear shaitan, knows the status of Al-Hafiz Ibn Kathir, and his tafsir of the Quran is the most yani respected book of tafsir in the world. Even if there were scholars who came before him, now, but it became the standard. And this is what, and I would like to read some more of what Hafiz Ibn Kathir says about the Shiites, but now we don't have time now. But I mean, in a lot of places in his tafsir he talks about the Shiites, and he really makes clear the deviation of these people of deviation. And the time is running. After this, yani, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says, yani, وَاتِّبَاعَ وَصِيَّةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ حيث قال عليكم بسنتي وسنتي الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين من بعدي تمسكوا بها وعدوا عليها بالنواجذ وإياكم ومحدثات الأمور فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة. This hadith reported by Ahmed, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah and others, and many many others. And Tirmidhi said the hadith is Hasan Sahih, and Shaykh Al-Albani also yani relayed the tasheeh, yani from a group of scholars, people yani in Irwa al-Ghalil, a number of different scholars who said this hadith is sahih. Yani, the third point of following is following the wasiyah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein he said, it is incumbent upon you to follow my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided khalifas who will come after me. Hold tight to their sunnah and bite on it with your molar teeth. And I warn you to beware of newly invented matters. For indeed, every newly invented matter is an innovation and every innovation is misguidance. Now the Shaykh, he begins, Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, begins to explain some of the words, ittiba'. He says, ittiba', yani wasiyat al-rasulillah, the ittiba' again, is ma'atuf ala ittiba' al-athar. Yani this is also connected to the first following of the narration of the Messenger of Allah, inwardly and outwardly, and connected to following, yani the way of the first and foremost of this ummah from the Muhajirin Ansar. He said, thirdly, following al-wasiyah, yani wasiyati rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen says, al-wasiyah means al-ahd. إِلَى غَيْرِهِ بِأَمْرٍ هَامٍ. Yani it is an instruction or a contract or a covenant or a command or an advice to someone else in a very important matter. Yani wasiyah, yani the Prophet ﷺ has advised us, he has instructed us, he has commanded us with this very important matter. What is that matter? Yani عَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي. Yani here he said, it is incumbent upon you to follow my sunnah to the end of what he said. The meaning of this is al-hathu ala tamassuq biha. Yani he is encouraging us to hold tight to the sunnah. And then he is reaffirming or emphasizing it. Akkada hadha biqawlihi addu alayha bin nawajidh. Yani bite upon it with your molar teeth. This is emphasis of what? Emphasis of yani or mubalagha. Yani exaggeration in his command, in his instruction, his advice to us to hold fast to the sunnah. He's saying hold fast. Yani is incumbent upon you to follow my sunnah. And then he said hold to it tightly. And then he said bite upon it with your molar teeth. This is mubalaga. He's emphasized, it's not something to bite, right? But he's making emphasis on the point of what? How tenaciously you should hold on to it. As sunnah, the Shaykh says, alaykum bi sunnati. As sunnah means at tariqa, zahiran wa batinan. It means the way, the methodology, the path, the road, yani that you follow it inwardly and outwardly. Then the Shaykh says, al khulafa al rashidin, yani wasiya, the wasiya of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, wa alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnati al khulafa al rashidin, al mahdiin min ba'di. Who are the khulafa al rashidin? They are those who came after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as leaders of this ummah. In knowledge, in action, and in da'wah. Yani they were the leaders coming after the Prophet, following in the footsteps of the Prophet, leaders of the Ummah. Yani leaders, they were leaders, meaning not just leaders who won the election or who yani somehow inherited leadership. No, they were the best of people in knowledge and in action and in calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how they became the leaders. The first to enter into this description of the Khulafa al-Rashidin, and the awwal man yadkhul wa awla man yadkhul. Yani awwal, the first of those who enter into the description, and the one who has most right to it, to be described with this description of al-Khulafa al-Rashidin, al-Mahdiin, is the first four khalifas. That is Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Thumma ya'ati رجل في هذا العصر. The Shaykh, he says, after this description from the Prophet ﷺ, his advice and instruction to us to follow his sunnah and the sunnah writing guide of khalifas, he described them as al-khulafa al-rashidin al-mahdiyin. This is how he described them, al-rashidin al-mahdiyin. And after that somebody comes in this time and he says, and this is a person who has no knowledge and probably no deeds either, good deeds. And he says, the adhan the first adhan of Jumu'ah is bid'ah. Yani the first adhan of Jumu'ah, two adhans on Jumu'ah, the first of them he said is bid'ah. Yani a man comes and says this, it's bid'ah. لِأَنَّهُ what is his argument? That this wasn't known in the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, therefore it's obligatory upon us to limit ourselves to the second adhan only. This is a issue of fiqh. We don't have time to go into it, but in brief, yani in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was one adhan for Jumu'ah, and this is narrated in Bukhari, that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood in the minbar, then the muezzin would call the adhan for Jumu'ah. And this was likewise the same in the time of Abu Bakr and Umar, and in the time of Uthman, he came with the idea of the second adhan. This is a fiqh discussion. But the point is, somebody is saying this is bid'ah. Yani some scholars may differ, like Imam Shafi, that in his time, there was no need for the second adhan. Yani Uthman came with the second adhan because there was a need for it in that time. But maybe in later generations, there was no need for it no more. So maybe some scholars say we don't need it anymore, like Imam Shafi. And Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, he said, explaining Imam Shafi's position, he said, that's because the reason why Uthman established that first adhan, the extra adhan, was there was a need at that time in Medina. That need no longer existed in the time of Shafi, and that's why Shafi said, we don't need it anymore. We just take the adhan, the adhan at the time when the Imam stands up in the minbar. And anyway, this is a fiqh discussion, and we don't have this time to discuss it right now, but the point is, Uthman establishing that adhan is correct. It's not bid'ah. If there's no need for it now, that's different, no problem. But to say that it's innovation, this is yani clear error, clear error. The Shaykh says, in responding to this, and by the way, that adhan that Uthman established was because the city of Medina had expanded and the people became plentiful, and many of the people didn't make it to the Jumu'ah in time, because they didn't, yani if the adhan is called when the Imam stands in the minbar, maybe some people will miss the Jumu'ah. So he established somebody in the market that was near, in the market of Medina that was near to the Prophet's Masjid, that a Muezzin would call the adhan before the time of Jumu'ah, so people in the market could close up their business, close up their sales, stop buying and selling, and go home and get ready for Jumu'ah. That was the purpose of it. There was a need for it at that time. And so he established it, and the Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, yani discusses this point. I'll discuss it quickly, yani because it is a fiqh issue, and he mentions it, we have to mention it. He says, first of all, the Shaykh says, how do we answer them? We say that the sunnah of Uthman radiallahu anhu is a sunnah that must be followed, as long as it doesn't contradict the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It must be followed what? إِذَا لَمْ تُخَالِفْ سُنَّةَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Yani, if any of the writing of the Khalifas comes with a sunnah that doesn't contradict the Prophet's sunnah, he said, follow my sunnah and sunnah of the writing of the Khalifas. If it opposes the sunnah of the Prophet, that's different. But as long as it doesn't, it is sunnah. Naam, because the Prophet called it sunnah. Sunnati al-Khulafa al-Rashidina Mahdi. He called it sunnah. And it should be followed, the Shaykh said, as long as it doesn't contradict, oppose the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as long as, look what he said, as long as what? لَمْ يَكُمْ أَحَدٌ مِنَ السَّحَابَةِ الَّذِينَ هُمْ أَعْلَمْ مِنْكَ وَأَغْيَرْ عَلَى دِينِ اللَّهِ. And no, not one of the Sahaba, when Uthman establishes, not one of the companions of the Prophet who were present, and there were plenty present at that time, nobody stood up. And these companions, they are more knowledgeable than you. And they are more jealous about the deen of Allah than you are. As long as nobody stood up to oppose him in that, who are we to come and say this is bid'ah? وَهُوَ and also the Shaykh says, وَهُوَ مِنَ الْخُلَفَ الرَّاشِدِينَ مَحْدِينَ. And this man, Uthman radiallahu anhu, he is from the right guy, the Khalifas, whom the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah, commanded us with following them. He's one of them that we were commanded to follow. And not only that, the Shaykh says, ثُمَّ إِنَّ Uthman radiallahu anhu اِعْتَمَدَ عَلَىٰ أَصْلٍ. Not only that, but Uthman, in establishing this practice, he depended upon a foundation principle. Yani he had something that he's standing upon, a proof, a evidence, and that is that Bilal radiallahu anhu used to call the adhan before the fajr in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Before the time for fajr. Not for salatul fajr, it wasn't time for fajr yet, but rather so that the people were standing in prayer, so that they will yani finish the prayer, knowing that the time for fajr is near, so that the people who are sleeping, they will get up and get ready for the fajr prayer. This adhan had a purpose. And likewise, Uthman said, this adhan also has a purpose, to get the people in the market ready for the Jummah prayer, so when the imam stands in the minbar, the people are present and waiting for him, not he's waiting for them. So the Shaykh, he says, and this is as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كما قال ذلك رسول, يعني that the purpose of that adhan of Bilal was not for the prayer, rather it was to wake the people who were sleeping and the people who were praying in the night prayer to come back and get ready for the Fajr. So Uthman radiallahu anhu, he commanded, he's the one who ordered that this first adhan, yani before the time of Jummah, on the day of Jummah, be established, not to announce the presence of the imam in the minbar, but rather to bring the people, to get the people to the masjid. And that is because Medina had become bigger and it became more wide and spacious and expanded, and the people were in need to know when the time of Jummah was near before the imam was present in the minbar. And that is so that the people could be present before the presence of the imam. So the Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, they follow what we have been advised with by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yani where he encouraged al-hathu ala tamassuk bi sunnatihi wa sunnati al-khulafa ar-rashidin al-mahdiin min ba'di, where he encouraged us to hold fast to cling to his sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided khalifas who came after him. And at the head of them are, yani at the head of the khalifas who came after him are the four, yani that is Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman and Ali radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Yani we follow what yani the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised us with when he encouraged us to hold fast to his sunnah and their sunnah, illa idha khalafa kalam rasulillahi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Except, yani the only time we wouldn't follow their sunnah is if they were in opposition or in contradiction to the speech of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, mukhalafatan sarihatan. Yani if they oppose something that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said with clear opposition, yani it's crystal clear that this is contrary to what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, then we will not follow it then. We will not follow it then. Huh? But he didn't stop there. Make it clear. He said, والواجب علينا أن نأخذ بكلام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فالواجب. So in that case, if that were to happen, it is obligatory upon us to take the speech of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم first and foremost, ونعتذر عن هذا الصحابي, and make an excuse for this companion who may have erred in opposing something that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said. And we're not going to take this what they said over the Prophet, rather we're going to take what the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said and we're going to make an excuse for them. We're not going to criticize them, condemn them and speak ill of them. We're going to follow what the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said and we're going to make an excuse for the companion and we're going to say هذا من باب الاجتهاد المعذور فيه, that what the companion said that opposed the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is from the point, the perspective, the view of what? الاجتهاد المعذور فيه, yani the ijtihad that a person is excused for. Yani he made ijtihad in something, he erred. And it happened that his error contradicted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam unknowingly. That is ijtihad that yani a scholar may make, and they're excused for it if the person is entitled to make ijtihad. And they were certainly the scholars of this ummah, Abu Bakr, the foremost of this ummah, Abu Bakr, Umar, and Uthman, and Ali. And it goes for any scholar who is a legitimate scholar, if they make ijtihad in something and they oppose something clearly from the sunnah, we don't follow that. But we make excuse for them and we say this is ijtihad that a person is excused for. So the Shaykh, he says after this time, he says after this, yeah, we're going to quickly come to the end. Yani the hadith, the wasiyah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the end of it he said, wa iyyakum, yani alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnati, yani it is incumbent upon you to follow my sunnah and sunnah of the rightly guided khalifas. And then he said, those who will come after me, and he said, wa iyyakum wa muhtathatil umur, and iyyakum, yani beware of newly invented matters. He said iyyakum, the meaning of it in Arabic, it is litahdhir, yani it is meant to be a warning, meaning uhadhirukum, yani I warn you against them. Iyakum, this is an Arabic expression. The meaning of it in Arabic is uhadhirukum, I warn you against something. I'm warning you, making a stern, firm warning against something. Iyakum wa muhtathatil umur, I warn you against newly invented matters. Al-umur here, newly invented matters, al-umur, He said, bimana ash-shu'un. Yani umur means ash-shu'un, the affairs. And what is intended by it is umur ad-deen, the affairs of deen. It doesn't just mean newly invented matters, yani automobiles and airplanes and stuff like that. It means newly invented matters in the affairs of deen. In the affairs of deen. As far as in the worldly matters, this doesn't come under this hadith. Newly, things that people made newly in the worldly affairs. This doesn't come under this hadith. Huh? Rather, the Shaykh says, and here's another principle, لِأَنَّ الْعَصَلْ فِي الْأُمُورِ الدُّنْيَا الْحِلْ لِأَنَّ الْعَصَلْ فِي أُمُورِ الدُّنْيَا الْحِلْ. Yani, so the original ruling concerning worldly affairs is that it's all permissible. الْحِلْ يعني halal. Everything in worldly affairs is permissible. فَمَبْتَدَعَ مِنْهَا فَهُوَ halal. So whatever they came up with, they invented some new stuff, it's halal, it's lawful. إِلَّا أَن يَدُلُّ الدَّلِيلُ عَلَى تَحْرِيمِهِ. Except in the case that there's an evidence which proves its prohibition. Yani, what's the rule in worldly affairs? الْحِلْ. It's all permissible. Except there's a proof which points to its prohibition. Specifically, if there's no proof pointing to its prohibition, everything in worldly affairs is permissible. Naam. This is the opposite of the principle in ibadah, right? The asl in ibadah is what? It's al-manu, mahdur, that is prohibited. Unless there's a proof allowing it. And this is the opposite in worldly affairs. Everything is permissible unless there's a proof prohibiting it. So whatever yani the people invent in the yani religious affairs, then it's haram, it's bid'ah, unless there's a proof from the kitab and the sunnah yani pointing to its being legislated. And then the shaykh, he goes to the end of the hadith, yani iyyaka wa muhdathatul umur fa inna kull muhdathatin bid'atun. For indeed every newly invented matter, kull, inna kull muhdathatin, every newly invented matter is innovation, and every innovation is dalala, is what? Misguidance. And here, this is the point that we're going to close on. Yani the Shaykh, he says, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, he says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in this hadith, فَإِنَّ كُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. For indeed, every innovation is misguidance. This jumla, this sentence, that every innovation is misguidance, is branching out from the al-jumla al-tahdhiriyya. Yani the warning that came in the beginning, إِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْتَثَاتُ الْأُمُورِ. That's the foundation statement, and this is a branch of that statement that's connected to it. Yani, beware of newly invented matters. Why? Because every newly invented matter is innovation, and every innovation is misguidance. So what is intended here by this statement is tawqeed at-tahdhir, to reaffirm that warning of beware of newly invented matters. It's this statement, for every innovation is misguidance, is intended to reaffirm that warning and clarification of the ruling of innovation. Clarification of what is the ruling concerning innovation? That it is all misguidance. وَهَذَا الْكَلَامُ عَامُ مُصَوَّرُ بِأَقْوَى لَفْظٍ دَالٌ عَلَى الْعُمُومِ. And this speech of the Prophet ﷺ, every innovation is misguidance, is general, meaning it includes everything. And it's مُصَوَّرُ, surrounded by the strongest expression in Arabic language that indicates generality. Yani generality means what? It's for everybody. This is not specifically for these three or four. No, this is for everybody. This is general ruling for everybody. Here in this case, general ruling for every innovation, with no exception, is misguidance. The Shaykh says that this is general speech from the Prophet ﷺ that's surrounded by the strongest expression in Arabic language for general, yani for generality, and that is the expression kullu. فَهُوَ تَعْمِيمْ مُحْكَمْ. Because this is a general all-inclusive statement that is decisive, muhkam. And it has come forth, originated from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Rasul alayhi salatu wa salam. أَعْلَمَ الْخَلْقِ بِالشَّرِيَةِ اللَّهِ. And it has come from who? From the Messenger of Allah, who is the most knowledgeable of all creation of the Sharia of Allah. Who is the one who said this? Yani somebody said, not all innovations is misguidance. Some of them, there's exceptions to it. Oh yeah? Who said so? Who is the one who said that all innovation is misguidance? The Messenger of Allah. And he is the most knowledgeable of the Sharia of Allah, of all created beings. He's the most knowledgeable. Alam al-Khalq bi Shariatillah. And not only that, but he is ansah al-Khalq li Ibadillah. Yani he is the most sincere in advising the created beings. Yani advising the worshippers of Allah. He is the most sincere of all created beings in advising. And he is afsah al-Khalq bayanan. And he is the most eloquent in speech, in clarification, in saying what he wants to say clearly. Not like some people, when they say something, you say, I don't know what you mean by that. What do you mean? And some people can't speak clearly. Well, the Prophet ﷺ, he spoke clearly. Naam. He said he is what? Afsah. Al-Khalq bayanan. Wa asdaquhum khabaran. And he is the most truthful of them in what he informs us about. So, in reference to the Prophet ﷺ, there are four affairs that have been gathered together in him that we should be considering when we look at his speech. And that is, ilm, knowledge, nas, yani being sincere, fasaha, being eloquent in speech, and sidq, being truthful. We should consider this when we look at what he said. Nataqa biqawlihi, when he said, kullu bid'atin dalala, he's the most knowledgeable people of the Sharia, he's the most sincere in advising the people, he's the most eloquent in his speech, and he's the most truthful in whatever he informs us about. So based upon this, everyone who worships Allah with an aqidah, or a speech, or an action, لَمْ يَكُنْ مِنْ شَرِيَةِ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ مُبْتَدِعٌ. Every person who does anything as an act of worship, whether it's what they believe, or what they say, or what they do, and yani it is not based in the Sharia of Allah, then that person is a mubtadi'un, yani an innovator. And then the Shaykh gives examples, and we'll close with this. Fil Jahmiyyah, yani this is a group of people, the Jahmiyyah, who were yani well known and widespread in the past. And from amongst their characteristics is that they used to empty the sifat of Allah of their meaning. Yani they would empty them of meaning, the real meaning, and just yani give it some other meaning. Like they would say, the hand of Allah means His power, or something like this. And they also didn't believe that people, that the hellfire would be eternal. He said the Jahmiyyah yata'abbaduna bi'aqidatihim, they worship Allah with their aqidah, their false aqidah, believing that they are freeing Allah from defect by saying, oh Allah, no, that description is not acceptable to Allah, because that means it looks like he's like a human being, or he's or some characteristic similar to a human being. So they empty it of its meaning in order to what? Declare that Allah is free from these defects. Actually, they empty Allah's sifat of their meaning, meaning they negate them. They don't even give Allah His sifat, which He described Himself with. Wal Mu'tazila, and the Mu'tazila, another group like this, the sifat of Allah, they didn't yani affirm them. But from most famously from these people is that they believed that the Qur'an is created, and that the people who commit sins are bayna manzilatain, between two positions, two stations. They are neither in iman nor in kufr. They're in between. And either a person is in, has iman, or they're in kufr, one or the other. Not in between. And then he said, likewise, they also worship Allah with an aqidah that they made up themselves, and the Ash'ari, the Ash'ariya, they also worship Allah, yani bima hum alayhi min aqidatin batilatin, that they also worship Allah with the aqidah that they are upon, which is false. These are groups, some the remnants of them remain amongst the people today in some of their ideas. Secondly, he said, those who invent something new in the adhkar mu'ayyana, yani specific words of remembrance of Allah, and they worship Allah with these words that they invented themselves, believing that they are going to get a reward for this. Like one book I remember I read, Names of Allah. And they had this name say it 255 times, this name say it 1,324 times, this one say something and you're going to get something for it. They just made this up. This is pure nonsense. Huh? Or the Shia in there, then they say, wa ashhadu anna Ali waliyullah. They just made this up. So these people who are making up these sayings and worshipping Allah with it, thinking they're getting some reward for it, these people are all innovators. And finally he said the third group are those people who invented in the actions. They're worshipping Allah with these actions, which they believe they will be rewarded for them. And they will get no reward. They will get no reward And from amongst the most famous of them today is the people who say, let's go out in Khuruj for 40 days or 4 months or 4 days or other nonsense like this. People just made up stuff. Really, they just made up stuff. And I don't want to pick on the Maliki madhab, because we know that some of the Maliki people pray with their hands on their side. The Prophet ﷺ did not pray like that. And maybe there's some error and misunderstanding in it. Even the great scholars, like Ibn Abdul Barr and other Maliki scholars, they also clarified that this was not the practice of the Prophet ﷺ. Rather, Imam Malik himself, in his Muwatta, he narrates the Prophet prayed with his right hand and his left on his chest. Imam Malik narrates that. How then can it be the Maliki madhab to pray with the hands on the side? And we're not talking about anybody's madhab. I'm just saying in general that people, yani, maybe they made a mistake. The Shiites, they didn't make a mistake. They're based upon falsehood. They pray with their hands on their side because that's their aqidah. Yani, to oppose the sunnah. I'm not saying the Maliki is trying to oppose the sunnah. But the Shiite, they intend to oppose the sunnah. The Shaykh, he closes here. Yeah, I think he closes here by saying, all of these three groups of people who invented, whether something in aqidah and creed, or in aqwal, speech, things that they say, or in af'al, actions, kullu bid'atin min bid'ihim fahuwa dalal. All of these three groups of people, whatever they invented in creed, in speech, or in actions, every innovation from their innovations is misguidance. It's all dalala. وصفها الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام بالدلال. The messenger is the one who described it as being misguidance. لأنها مركبون. Because it's something that they just assembled. They put it together. ولأنها انحرف عن الحق. انحراف عن الحق. And because it is what? Deviation from the truth. Deviation from the truth. And this is all that we have time to mention for today. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك وأتوب إليك.